Good morning again. Just getting to know Renee and Valentina, this idea of perspective, it really is kind of, if you ever use Waze or Google Maps or anything, sometimes it says recalibrating, trying to, you've gotten off track, and all of a sudden something happened to get you back where you need to be. And I really think just hearing her story and theirs together does that. This idea of perspective is, it's one that we have to own, and we have to fight hard for it. And as followers of Jesus, we have some resources that are really, really good. I want to tell you an Old Testament story, and then I'll get in more of the message. In the Old Testament, you read about prophets, and prophets were men and women that worked within the nation. They represented God. In this case, we're looking at a guy named Elisha. And he was a key government advisor, but he was independent. He wasn't part of the administration. And he was a spokesman for God. He would provide wisdom. Sometimes he would know some things that were going to happen, God would tell him. But for the most part, he was there to kind of guide the king and the country to stay on the right track, trusting God along the way. And it was creating a problem. Their neighbor, Syria, was getting irritated because it seemed like every time Elisha gave the king advice, Israel did okay. And he was thinking, if I can get rid of that guy, then we'll be fine. It's like cutting out someone's computers or cutting out something that they've been depending on that's really helpful. So the king of Syria decided they did a recon mission, found out where Elisha was staying, sent some elite troops to surround the house he was in. They're going to take him out. Either goes willingly with them, or they're going to get rid of him. But either way, he's going to be out of commission. The morning the troops had arrived, they had come the night before, Elisha's assistant came out, and he saw these guys. I don't know if he went out to get the paper. I don't know what he was doing. But he got up, saw it, and he ran back in and told Elisha, "We're in big, big trouble." And when you read the story, Elisha doesn't freak out. It's just him and his assistant against this mass of troops. But Elisha wants his assistant to know, no matter what the external circumstances are, the God that we serve is still alive and he's on the throne. I want to read to you what he tells his assistant. It's really a phenomenal story. I hope you'll read it sometime in 2 Kings. Elisha says to him, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than theirs." And I'm sure his assistant's thinking, bless his heart. There are hundreds of them and chariots, and there's you and me. And by the way, we're not armed. Elisha, you need to wake up and smell the coffee because something bad's about to happen. Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. We too many times we discount what God is like and what it means for him to be with us. And this thing about perspective, Elisha knew it. Elisha knew that he was following God's lead. He was doing what God asked him. And to be a prophet wasn't simple. It was great when your message was things are going well. You could lose your life pretty quickly if you gave a statement and said to the king, you're out of control. I mean, they lived, I mean, if you read through some of them had some really rough times because they were spokespersons for God. But Elisha understood who he served, and he knew that God was completely in control and God would take care of him and his assistant. God would either stop the enemy from what their plans were, or God was going to equip Elisha and his assistant to be able to handle whatever came their way. Either way, God was going to take care of them. God will always take care of us if we let him. Perspective is an interesting word. It's a Latin word. It just means to see clearly. I have a friend that a couple weeks ago had cataract surgery, and he was here today, and he said, "Wow, I can really see." I mean, he, before he saw blobs, now he sees what we really look like. It's a little scary, but it's the cataract surgery worked. To be able to see clearly is important. And to have good perspective, mentally good perspective, it doesn't change reality. It just sets us up to face it well. I want to show you an illustration of this. Let me show you this first picture. Becky and I were just in the mountains recently, and we were walking along, and you got, I don't know what people are thinking, but they come up to the mountains to throw their litter away. Beautiful trails, you get on Appalachian Trail, you get other things, and then there's gack like this floating around. And you can see it, and you get really worked up. That's horrible. Why would someone throw their trash and stuff? You know, you get on a tirade. Because that's what you see. Let's look at the same picture with a different focus. It's the exact same picture, but the focus is different. You're focusing on something that's beautiful, something that is kind of unique. They're all of those, the trash and the flower are all in the same picture. But it's a matter of what my perspective, what am I going to pay most attention to? Let's just show them both together. Reality isn't different because I focused on the flower. But my vantage point has changed. And what we focus on, what we give our primary attention to, really does matter. Too many times, God is out of focus and our problems are crystal clear. Now, there are some of you that are perennial optimists and the problems are never a big deal. Oh, yeah, yay, Jesus. But you're, and again, it should be God first, but that doesn't mean you ignore the rest. You're just seeing it in a healthy perspective. So what I'm wanting to do in the message today is to just give us a few things from the Bible on how to have and build good perspective. This is the privilege and responsibility we have as followers of Jesus. People that don't know him yet, it's what he makes available to anyone that will accept him. So building good perspective, first thing is to have an accurate understanding of God informed by the Bible. Because it all begins with, who is he? What is he really like? A lot of times what happens is we have our big ideas. I've heard people talk before and they'll say, I like to think of God as, and then they come up with something. Because it's based on how they feel, or there's an influencer or someone popular has told them something. We have been gifted the Bible. And if we choose to understand it accurately, we choose to do our homework and we build a strong biblical foundation, we're going to really know what God's like. And I'm afraid he's not very much like what popular culture paints him to be, or certain cliques do. Studying the Bible is to our advantage, and it helps us to know this is what God is absolutely like. The reason we promote our Bible reading plan here, the reason we give out a take-home sheet at the end of each message is so you'll go and do your homework, not just depend on me or whoever's talking, but to say, what does the Bible really say? I want to struggle. I want to wrestle with this. I want to understand it. We need to learn to use it wisely and not just cherry pick certain parts of it. Now we need to get an accurate handle on it, and all of a sudden, God's focus in our life becomes much, much clearer. I'm going to give you four things about God. The first one I made up. See, I just violated my own counsel. That God is omni-loving. That's not a real word. Because the other ones start with omni, I decided to put that in there. It just means he's all-loving. If you want to know what the definition of love is, don't go to the Hallmark website. Take a good look in the Bible and see what God says. One of the most famous passages in the Bible is the number one that Americans know. And the guy is starting to do this at NFL games again, where he drops down the little banner and says John 3:16. Listen to this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. The greatest display of love in all of human history is God sending his son Jesus to become one of us so he could take our place. He sacrificed his life, not because he deserved it, because he knew what we needed. The picture of baptism is that Renee and Valentina go all the way under the water, reminding us that the basis of our faith is not our promises to God, it's not our, I'm going to be better. It's that Jesus came to take my sin, to pay my price. And his resurrection proves that he is absolutely worth listening to and following. You know, it's interesting, there's another time when the curtain was opened up, like Elisha prayed and his assistant got to see all the heavenly army around. And by the way, some of us have these idea of angels that look a little bit like the Pillsbury Doughboy or the Michelin Man. They're soldiers. I mean, they're intimidating looking. When Jesus was born, the shepherds were out doing their shepherd job, and all of a sudden the curtain was pulled back and there was a whole host of heavenly army praising God. It's always there. Sometimes the curtain gets pulled back and we get to see it. God really does define love. And Jesus on the cross, one of the things he did that is still, it catches my breath, is that when he was being executed, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He didn't come to judge the world. That will happen. But he came to show us true love. And anyone that is willing to, anyone that is willing to accept it, even those that are currently enemies, can taste God's love through Jesus. So, God is all-loving, but he's also omnipresent. This is a real word. I did look this one up. That means he's with me and you everywhere. No matter where we find ourselves, he's there. This is not pantheism. God isn't everything, but he is everywhere. Listen to Psalm 139. It says, "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." It's amazing. God is already, he already knows where you're going. He's already been there. He's eternal, so he's not limited by time and space. He knows exactly what you're going to be facing, what's going to come up your way. And he will walk with us through whatever comes our way. Even if we stray off the path, we've really blown it. We've run away from him. He's still there. And if we're willing to, and we're humbly accepted, he'll help us get back on the right path. He doesn't reject us because we screwed up. He's ready to help me right now to be where he knows I ought to be. So God is all-loving. He's ever-present. And he's also omnipotent or omnipotent. Jeremiah 32 says, "O sovereign Lord," sovereign is just the supreme authority, "O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you." There is nothing that God wants to do that he is unable to accomplish. Now, he's going to adjust what he does based on his love for us. They work together. But that having a combination of power and love is pretty remarkable. We live in a world right now where there are all kind of people showing their power. Not necessarily very much love. Power rules. Our God is not like that. He is all powerful, but he's also all loving. Remember omni-loving? It's a brand new word. It's going to be trademarked soon. He can absolutely be counted on. No matter where you are, what you're facing, he will either do one of two things. He will either change my circumstances so I can go through them, or he'll change me to be able to handle the circumstances I have to go through. Either way, he's offering me his love and his presence and his power. And this is, it's one of the great benefits of being a follower of Jesus. And once we know that, it changes, remember, it's going to change my perspective as I'm facing. I love watching Renee. She's got terminal cancer. And she's not giving into it. I'm going to fight this. But I'm admitting I do have this. I'm not pretending I don't. But there's a God I'm trusting. And he's walking with me through this. There's something there that we need to tap into. So God's all loving, he's all present, he's powerful. And then this last omni is he's omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I do it in secret, God won't know. I'm going to take an extra minute and tell you something funny. We have 72 cameras on our property here. Some years ago, right after we moved in, there's a huge snowstorm, and we had hired a company to every 3 inches they were going to come and plow the snow for us. We got here one day and realized there's about a foot of snow in the driveway. And even in West Virginia, we can do the math. And you should never have more than 3 inches. So we called the company that they no longer work for us. And the guy said, I'm sure my guy was out there and did it. I said, well, actually, no, we've got the cameras here, and he's never been on our property. And then he said this, which this is free. He says, he must have been ghosting. What that means is claiming to be somewhere you're not, but also going through the motions of charging us for what you didn't do. They actually had a term for this. Drives me crazy, and that's another message on dealing with anger, and that's coming up in March. God, there's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing he misunderstands. Even if you and I can't put words to it, he gets it. He never miscalculates. I'll give you one more story about this because it shows how all this works together. God loving us, God being very present, God having power, and him knowing. In 08, we moved into this building. We'd been mobile for 16 years. And we moved in, and then the bank failed. And when the bank failed, there was $3 million left that we needed to have to pay contractors that had done work for us. And they just didn't have the money. And it got really tough. The contractors had done it in good faith. We had hired, we're told we had several business people that came and said, well, in the business world, what you do is you just pay them, maybe pay half, 50 cents on the dollar. And our leadership team said, that's not what we agreed to, though. We agreed these people worked for us. We agreed to pay them their full wage and their full contract. The bank, we found a bank that was willing to redo our loan and get us the money to pay them, but they said because they had a bone to pick with the contractor that did work for us, had nothing to do with us. They said, well, we'll do it. We'll get you this, but you're going to have to only pay them 50 cents on the dollar. So there's this kind of pattern going around. And our team met, and we decided it would be better for us to not use the building, to sell it and pay them back in full, than to have defrauded them. I'm just telling you, this is where we were. And I was on the phone with our legal team, and the contract the bank had sent, and it said very clearly in there, Scott Long Construction is only, you can't pay them more than 50% of what you owe them. Told the attorney, he said, you need to strike that part out of the contract. He said, well, you do that, you're not going to get a loan. It'd be better to be mobile than to have taken advantage of people. That was our thinking. And he said, I'm telling you, they got high-powered attorneys. They're going to see that red flag. They're going to trash it. It's a no-go. We struck it out. A couple days later, got the contract back. And these $500, $600 an hour attorneys missed it. What we struck out was gone. And we were able to, over a period of time, we were able to pay all their contractors that we owed, 100% of what we owed them, plus interest. And all I can say is I believe God blinded some really good attorneys. And I've not seen many things like this, but this was one of those that was like, how did that happen? Well, it happened because there's a God that... He wanted us to honor him. And if he had decided not to do that and we had to be mobile again and sell him, okay, you can be a mobile church. But you don't want to have character that is up for sale. And God is good. Psalm 147, how great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. He is, anytime we start making God too small, we get in trouble. We need to remember just who he is and what he's like. Sometimes we pray and it's like we're having to inform him because he doesn't know what's going on. It's okay to, when you're praying, it's okay, but don't think for a moment that you're going to have special information he doesn't have. He gets it. And he is absolutely trustworthy. So there's some things about God. There's another thing about having accurate perspective that I want to focus on just for a moment. And that is, all of us need to have some ongoing accountability with others that truly follow him too. Because we can, if we're not careful, we can get locked up into our own kind of thinking, our own little mini perspective. And we begin thinking, well, I know better than everybody else. I don't need any advice. I don't need any input. Having a healthy perspective, for the most part, I think, is a team effort. Just like Elisha was with his assistant. You heard Renee talking about being in Tammy Anderson's small group and how they've come along and rallied and supported, how Ashley has been there to help remind and encourage. It is easy for us to get caught up in stuff and lose a proper focus. We can either get really negative, we see all the bad things are happening, or we can just be over positive and miss some things that we need to see. We can get so excited about an opportunity that we're blind. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know that have gone to the car dealer. Oh, I'm not going to buy a car today. And as soon as they smell that new car, as soon as they see that it's got all these features that your other car doesn't have, oh, I better get it now because they may not make any more. It happens to us all the time. And here's the, well, let me just read you this passage. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. It's a very simple statement. But if you and I have an idea, if I have a good idea, it will withstand scrutiny by a few people that know me if I just say, what do you think of this? Well, I don't want to do that. They might poo-poo my idea. Okay. If it's a good idea, it'll stand up. If it's not, or if there need to be some adjustments, you'll find out you've got nothing to lose but maybe a little bit of time. A good idea will withstand scrutiny. If you are having some big thoughts and ideas and dreams and all this stuff, and you're afraid to talk to people about it, that should be a huge red light going off on your dashboard. If you get really defensive, if someone offers you some suggestions, there should be a red light going off on your emotional dashboard. Being part of a community, it can slow things down some, but it can be a huge protection. Here's another one. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. And this is not just for military experts. It means if you're getting ready to make a plan, if you're thinking about doing something, ask some people around you. Ask some people that have got more wisdom or experience about it. Listen. I'm just afraid we miss this too much. And one thing I'll say, this is also free, and I don't really have a verse for this one. Some of us love giving people advice. And we thrive on it. Some parents are great at it. Some bosses love telling everybody what they need to know. We do it to our friends. Don't offer to help somebody else's perspective without being armed with empathy and understanding. I got corrected about this by, I'm not going to say the person's name, but I've been married to her for a while. We were taking a walk a week ago. And she said, you know, you asked me the other day if there was anything I thought you ought to work on. I was hoping she had forgotten. And I said, yeah. And she goes, sometimes you offer me perspective help, but I don't really think you understand where I'm coming from. And I told her she was wrong, and then we just went on, kept. But it's easy. It's easy to offer people all kind of great advice without really knowing where they are. And again, there's a corrective to this. Truth without love and understanding is cruel and harsh and cold. Love and understanding without truth is spineless sentimentality. You got to have them both. And you need to learn to tell someone the truth, but do it in a way where it would be like, it's the way you would like to receive it, where you think, they really do understand where I'm coming from. They know the struggle I've had. I think they really do get it. And sometimes that might cause you to hold back on some of your grand advice, or it might cause you to do it in a different way. But this is something, it's an art more than a science. I need to speak the truth in love, and I need to do my best to come alongside others the way I would want someone to do it for me. The third thing, and I'll close with this, is that to have a good, healthy perspective about life and God and where he's leading is, I just need to have a genuine desire to keep growing in my faith and not coasting. There's some of us that have been followers of Jesus for a long time, and after a while, we believe our own press releases. I'm pretty smart. I'm wise. Everyone needs to learn from me. That's not growing. I need to keep learning. I need to keep understanding more about what God's like. What is it he's showing me? What is it in this age and stage that he wants me to do or how to respond? Growing things change in a healthy direction. And this is a prayer from a pastor to his church. He said, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Next week, we're going to look at one major ingredient, just one, to help us win the war in our minds so that we're prepared, we're solid and strong. When you leave today, you can get a take-home sheet. I hope you'll take time with this. Do it as a family. Do it in your small group. Do it individually if you want to. They in the side lobbies, and then you can also download them online. We have their Bible reading plan program. If you're not currently doing one, grab hold of that too. God has great things in store for us, and he wants us to start by really understanding him. Let's pray. God, thank you for today and for the chance to celebrate with Renee and Valentina. Commit them to you and ask that you would show yourself as you are, loving, present, powerful, and giving them the insight they need. God, help us to follow you with our whole hearts. In Christ's name, amen.